Hello, hello, hello. Good morning to you all. So, what's this question then? Frailty and aging are not the same thing. Okay, so a lot of people think as you get older, you become more fragile and things happen or things go wrong, right? And to a sense, there's a strong correlation with this, obviously. But you see people that go against this a lot. There's really fit people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s. They're still moving about. They're still doing day-to-day activities. And they're still fit. They're still fit to live, fit to do things, fit to be independent, right? So in this research I'm looking at now, right, 10% of what they call community-dwelling seniors, and that is defined as this. Community-dwelling is the official shorthand for older adults who don't live in a hospital, institution, or long-term care. So basically anyone living, back in the villages, in the towns, whatever, just kind of independent, right? Only 10% of those people meet the criteria for frailty. So that means they're highly vulnerable and potentially devastating health problems, right? So that's what frailty means you. So that's according also, right, to a recently published review from the gerontologists based in Canada and Mexico. My accent definitely messed that up. Okay, so frailty rate approaches 60% for older adults with advanced cardiovascular disease. Okay, so from 10% to the people in the towns and villages living their life to 60% with advanced cardiovascular disease. So in these cases, right, heart attack or major surgery can be defined as people in this category, right? And things can go downhill very, very quickly from here. So they looked at patients ending up with a maximum aerobic power VO2 max peak, right? Which becomes below the clinical threshold for frailty. So what does that mean? The threshold for frailty is a VO2 peak below 18 millimeters of oxygen per kilogram of body weight per minute for males and 16 for females. Okay, so the average US adult is a 33. And for females is 26.2. So going below 18 and below 16. Now in the new Turtle Octagon 4 Challenge, we're going to be doing a week on heart health and VO2 max and what this all means and how you find your own one out. Now you can keep an eye on it, right? But if the person's VO2 max peak is below these cutoffs, simple household tasks might push them beyond their lactic threshold. So the point where the muscles can no longer use oxygen to generate energy and instead shifts to anaerobic energy systems, which is very costly and actually quite scary, right? And my father was going through this a lot. He had heart failure, triple heart bypass, angina, diabetes. He was on oxygen. And there's a chart I'm looking at now where, at rest, these people using 23%, right, of their VO2 maxes. And then just making the bed, it goes up to 59%. And, this is their threshold, their lactic threshold. So just putting on clothes puts them beyond the threshold they need to be at. And anything beyond that, it can go to peak, which is like dangerous territory. So in this chart, it shows that just like walking to the toilet puts them above their peak VO2 milliliters per kilogram of weight, right? So, this is like when you look at this data, okay, what it's trying to say is like you want to be able to be, for you to be functionally independent, you still need to be in your aerobic threshold for movement. So you need to be able to walk to the toilet, walk to the shop without going into your anaerobic systems, which means you're not going to be like breathing really heavily and you're not going to feel like you're dying. For you to be functionally active and fit and being able to live, really, you gotta watch out for this, right? So people in that state, they can't go beyond that. So yeah, I remember my father used to walk him to the toilet, and that was like doing a 100 meter sprint. Even when you go slow, you're like the movement, everything is just horrible to watch. But it just goes to show how frail he was, really. And this is important stuff for us to focus on, because once your life gets to that stage, your life quality goes way down, way down. And we can look at numbers or look at this, but the reality of it is horrible. In my father's case, he couldn't drive anymore. He had a minibus business, and he was known around the village, around the valley, for being this bus driver, bus business, being, you know, going around checking in on garages, driving about, seeing his drivers. You know, he couldn't do that anymore. He lost that independence. He couldn't even just get up and go to the toilet on his own. He couldn't do anything on his own. And for you to, your life to be taken away from you, he was 76 when he passed, right? And, you know, last year, not that old in that sense. You don't want to get to this position. You know, it's not nice to think about it. It's not nice to see someone go through it. But what is, you know, what do we do to not get there? You know, what do you do to get there is another question. What should I do to make sure that I become high risk of cardiovascular disease and all this by the time I'm age 60? All right, well, keep over consuming my calorie intake, keep gaining weight over time, not getting my steps in, not drinking water, making sure I'm being functionally active day to day, not trying to find an exercise that I enjoy that moves my body, you know, not ever looking at my nutritional intake, not ever, you know, joining a community of people who want to improve their health, drinking too much all the time. You know, that's what I would do if I want to get into this position. So, you know, you do the opposite to make sure you don't get in that position. So the opposite is, well, for me to not get into this position, you know, and smoking is another one, right? My father said, biggest regret was smoking. He'd smoke sometimes 40 a day. Biggest regret he had, I remember taking him to the gym once when he wasn't as bad, he's on the portable oxygen machine. And he was saying, yeah, smoking, see? Smoking did this to me. So yeah. The doctors told you, man. They told you 20 years ago. You know, you had the first surgery, angina. They told you. You know, come on, guys. Don't let it get there. You know, you need to shake yourself sometimes and be like, what am I doing? Why am I not going out for my walk today? I can do it today. I'm functionally active. I can do it. There might be one time in the future where me putting my socks on puts me into my anaerobic threshold. And that's dangerous for me. This is what's happening to these people. You know, walking 3 miles per hour takes them above their anaerobic threshold. Carrying groceries goes beyond their peak, dangerous. Jogging 5 miles per hour, 188% over, like way too dangerous, you know, life-threatening stuff. Okay, so it's not like trying to scaremonger you, it's just looking at what the data says, right? And this is a heart failure and stuff. And it is easily preventable, essentially. If we do the basics, we don't want to get to that position. So people say, what does exercise do, right? And obviously exercise works your core, works your muscles, helps you balance, right? But any movement does everything, really. It's exercise works on the mind. It's holistic. It's cardiovascular, right? It works your muscles, your nervous system. It activates muscles, releases signals that helps with inflammation, regenerates cardiac tissue, improves brain function, does all of these amazing things, exercise. But you have to do something you enjoy so it becomes part of your lifestyle. It's not something, oh shit, should I exercise? I don't want to. It's, holy hell, I love the movement I do. I wake up and I look forward to the movement I'm doing, right? And obviously some of you who already have health problems and you speak to your doctors and stuff and they tell you, you know, you need to follow, you know, prescribe what they do. This is not like medical advice in that sense, but it is like the basics need to be done. The fundamentals are there. If you've got the fundamental there, things are going to improve, okay? But the thing is, pushing yourself too much with exercise, like we traditionally do with aerobic exercise, for people who are unfit and unreal is not a good idea. You know, that's because, like, when you get to that lactic threshold, when you get really, really tired from exercise, you're wobbly. Your coordination goes, your head's all over the place. You know, we've all been there, your head's pounding, you're breathing heavily, you are really in a bad position. You don't need to go there, right? You don't need to go there like every session. Maybe once in a while you want to push yourself, it's fine. But the good stuff you could do is you can work on your balance and strength and cognition with really, really light weights. You know, this has been proven in people with Alzheimer's dementia that weightlifting can help, right? And the reason it does, obviously, is like I said, it's using your brain, your mind-muscle connection. It's moving your muscles, blood flow. It still works on your heart health, like I covered last week, but I'll cover it more. So you start really light. You start with weights that are like 30% of what you can do for one rep. So say you can do 10 kilograms, a 10-kilogram dumbbell for one curl, right? One bicep curl. And that's one. You do one, it's really, really hard. you use 3 kilograms, right? And you do like, you know, you work up to 8 to 12 reps. And this is a key part about this, is that you rest as long as you need between sets, okay? You don't worry about, if you're in a position now, and I'm talking to people whose fitness levels you feel are really low right now, you know, you've got really low fitness levels, you want to build it up. You don't have to follow the 45 to 60 second rest periods, because that's going to push you into an anaerobic zone, and you're going to start feeling that you're going to get fatigued quicker. So when it comes to the base, you can rest 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes if you wanted to, and you just do a nice set, controlled, lightweight, you keep going, right? And then you slowly build up over time. You don't have to do barbell squats and deadlifts and military presses and pull-ups like all the advice on out there is. You don't have to do this. These are big compound movements. They use multiple joints. You can start off with machines. You can do the bicep machines, the tricep machines, the single leg extension machines. You can work singular groups of muscles at a time, okay? Because deadlifts, they will push you anaerobic. Squats as well. And, you know, you got to remember, on these big exercises, they come with a level of risk. Yes, you can have the form correct. Yes, you know timing. But when you are exerting yourself too much, form does go out the window. And it's hard to maintain good form when you're really, really tired. Okay? So I think it's important there. Because there was a study in 2011 that patients with chronic heart failure did a single exercise, so knee extensions, training each leg separately for 8 weeks, right? And then thanks to increased oxygen delivery to the quadriceps, the patients were able to increase their VO2 peak by 40%, okay? Elbow extension, sitting, you know, you've got calf raises, you think of bicep, think of just bending your, bringing your fist to your head, like that bicep curl, yeah? That's a single exercise, single muscle exercise. And then the other way is the tricep, okay? And then what do you mean by knee extension? Say you're sitting on a chair, you just kick your knee out and back in. So you're working your quadriceps, right? And you put a bit of weight on and you get some weight. And the same for the hamstrings. You lay down on your front and you do it the other way, you know? And then maybe you can do single arm chest press, you know? Maybe lightweight, you know? You can do a wall press. Look, 40% increase in oxygen delivery. Increase their VO2 max by 40%. Those numbers are crazy. You know, I remember when I was taking my father to the gym, and if you compare it to what we've done at 18 years old and what people tell you to do in the gym, you think this can't be doing anything, right? That's what we think, our brain goes there. But he was doing on the machine. He started off on the bike, then on the machine, he was doing leg press, single leg press. And it was an easy machine, foot, push back a bit, back down, nice and easy. Okay, we get to 5 reps, 6 reps, let's have a break, you know, take as much time, go back again. And I'm telling you, his strength levels are going up very, very quickly. Things happen outside his control that put his condition worse, but he was definitely seeing some really big improvements in his walking ability and his strength when he was doing that frequently. Yeah, so who knows what would have happened if he was able to maintain that, you know? It would have been maybe a very different outcome, maybe added years. You just don't know, do you? You can't really, you can't think our way when it comes to it. But I think, yeah, take it seriously, please. I beg you to take these things seriously. If you want to challenge yourself, a lot of you listening, and you might be 26 years old and you're super fit and it's fine, and you know, but this is information not just for you, but for the people in your life as well. You know, all of you have got older people in your life, you know, maybe people you see getting frail, maybe people you see whose health is going down, and you feel like they're overwhelmed by stuff, and you can tell them to listen to this podcast. Can tell them to, you know, you can start slow, you can be there for them, you know, you can go to a PT and say, hey, can you listen to this podcast on the research in this, can you take them through really easy workout? Because you gotta remember, some PTs will go too hard too fast for any age. It's a big problem with them, you know. It's one gear, and but there's a lot of brilliant PTs out there with patience of a saint, and they're really good. So you know it's hard, but you can find the right one. And you need to see this, and I'll finish on this, right? You've got to see like exercise as like a health bank, basically, right? So if you maintain your fitness, you're able to overcome setbacks as you age, simple as that. And the big reason why health experts talk about VO2 peak or VO2 max for improving health span is because of that, okay? So It builds a reserve of fitness and strength, but also significantly enhances your capacity to recover from illness or injury, you know? Being fit and healthy, if things happen, you're in a good, better position to overcome it, right? Simple as. So take this as some exciting news in a sense. Like, wow, we can, hey, it's not too bad. That's not too much out of my reach. It's not. And use it as a momentum. Say, you know, even if you can do one workout this week or two short workouts or something, if you're not feeling like you want to do a big workout, just do the single joint stuff. 99.9% of people listening to this are not bodybuilders, not elite athletes. You're not in that camp, so we don't need to touch those things, okay? So have a good day, guys. Hopefully this podcast was useful. Again, Heart Health Week in the Octagon Challenge is going to cover more of these things, and we'll be having many things you can take away and you can share with other people in your life. If you want to know more about the Octagon Challenge, you need a link, then just pop me an email or message and I can send it to you. But other than that, guys, enjoy your day and speak to you soon.